Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And if you were with us yesterday, we kind of had a double shot for the good martini, as both Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina announced officially that they're running for the Republican presidential nomination. The action continues today. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, but going to make it official later today, Jim, that for the second time he is seeking the GOP nomination. He ran in 2008, scored a win in the Iowa caucuses, and then after that found a kind of tough sledding, did fairly well in South Carolina, but not well enough to win. And after that, the map just didn't work out for him. So obviously he brings certain things to the table. He's got experience running a presidential campaign. Social conservatives like him. He's a very compelling speaker. The question is whether he can find the same level of support he got last time, and obviously more if he wants to be the nominee.
Those who've been reading me for a long time will know that there are times I have been grinding my teeth or been a little grumpy about things that Mike Huckabee says and does, but two really good things coming out of the Huckabee announcement. One being, when he's good, he's really, really good. His opening video had this, I think it was one of the convention speeches where he comes out and he says, "Look, I'm not a Republican because I grew up rich. In fact, I grew up very poor. I'm a Republican because I don't want to grow old waiting for the government to help me and lift me up." And I think there's something to that. I think there's a message to a demographic that is perhaps a little too focused or a little too driven down by despair into waiting for the government to improve their lives. Mike Huckabee can be a great advocate for some of that stuff. The other thing is, if, like me, you've kind of wondered if some of these folks who say, "Oh, I'm thinking about running for president. Oh, I'm dipping my toe in the water. I'm thinking about maybe possibly forming an exploratory committee." Look, Mike Huckabee's in, and to give him credit where it's due, he is now in the arena. He will rise or fall on his own skills as a candidate. Those of us who had a cynical view that this was all just a big kabuki dance in order to get a bigger TV contract or something like that, look, he is in it. We will see how he does. But I think that he has proven some of the cynics a little bit wrong that, no, this is not just a giant publicity stunt or a book tour. Mike Huckabee wants to be president, and we're going to see how he does.
Yeah, and he had a pretty sweet deal at Fox. So when he stepped away, you had to assume this was actually going to happen, and it will happen today. And that will bring the total to 6 Republican candidates officially in the race. So, Jim, only a dozen or more or so to go.
Yeah. Pat Paulson, still waiting for a decision from him.
Yes,
exactly. The fact that he's dead doesn't really make that much of a difference.
Nah, he probably still filed. All right, on to the bad martini now. And the president yesterday giving a major speech up in the Bronx prior to his appearance on the Letterman show, his final appearance before David Letterman retires. And the speech in the Bronx, he talked a lot about the situation in Baltimore, how to improve relations as he sees it between the community and police. And this is a interesting part of the clip where he talks about what he sees as being wrong in many urban communities, and then he doesn't want to actually figure out who's responsible.
Across the country and in parts of New York, in parts of New Jersey, in parts of my hometown in Chicago, there are communities that don't have enough jobs, don't have enough investment, don't have enough opportunity. You got communities with 30 or 40 or 50% unemployment. They've been struggling long before the economic crisis of 2007, 2008. Communities without enough role models. Communities where too many men who could otherwise be leaders, who could provide guidance for young people, who could be good fathers and good neighbors and good fellow citizens, are languishing in prison over minor nonviolent drug offenses. Now, there's no shortage of people telling you who and what is to blame for the plight of these communities. But I'm not interested in blame. I'm interested in responsibility, and I'm interested in results.
Jim, that's a pretty fierce indictment of his own record. No wonder he doesn't want to assign responsibility.
I'm not interested in blame, but here's whose fault it is. Two aspects. One, when Obama said yesterday how he wants to continue his project after his presidency. I mean, this guy just can't hit a deadline ever. You give him 8 years. Not enough time. Not finished yet. Sorry, teacher. I guess the power of the presidency just wasn't enough. Never mind the fact that he's ignoring the Constitution, doing everything through executive order. And also, what was that project? Just thinking back to that speech where he said, we are X days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And I think a lot of us look around and say, actually, this country does look pretty fundamentally transformed. I remember back when the president had to get Senate approval for his appointments, and he couldn't just change immigration law all on his own, and they couldn't just make up health care reform law on the fly without passing it through Congress and all kinds of stuff like that. But it's not like we were at a point in his presidency where we expected a really good response from President Obama, but... Yeah, we kind of knew that eventually he would take something like this and eventually it would turn into it's all Republicans' fault. My policies could have fixed all this. And let's not play the blame game, but it's all on them.
Yeah, that's generally how it goes. He's the king of the butt in a sentence, talking about, you know, things that conservatives will actually think, wow, that's, you know, I think he's right on right there. And then the butt hits and he basically nixes everything he said right before that. So it looked like for a moment yesterday, Jim, as we head to the crazy martini, that there was going to be another flashpoint in Baltimore. Fox News reporter Mike Tobin going on the air, kind of breathlessly reporting that he believes he saw somebody get shot in the back by police. Heard a gunshot, saw a guy hit the deck face first. And so they came on to say that there was a shooting. And then eventually, several minutes later, we got this exchange, starting with a Baltimore police officer speaking with Leland Vitter to Fox and Shep Smith finally admitting what was becoming painfully obvious.
Nobody was shot.
How are you sure about that?
Because we have no shooting victim right now.
So there's no gunshot wounds?
There's no gunshot wounds reported at this time, no.
Okay. Why do witnesses say there was a gunshot wound?
I think it was just a misperception in the community that stemmed out. Okay?
Are you worried about how big this crowd is getting?
Stop it.
No,
ooh.
We're not. We're fine.
I didn't mean
right
for
now.
That to be on TV.
Right.
Sorry. I just mean, come on back to set now. It sounds to me like what's happened is we screwed up. What it sounds like, and what we have is nothing.
Jim, Mike Tobin's been around a long time. He's a good reporter. He goes into some tough situations, including the Middle East. Leland Vittert's been there, too. This is just a situation where they clearly thought they saw something. They obviously didn't. And when you don't double-check, that kind of egg on your face is what happens.
Yeah, you want to give a little bit of credit to him and to Shep Smith for saying, look, we made a mistake. We screwed up. Better to not... But maybe there was a shooting. You know, you make a mistake, just own up to it and be direct about it. We realize you guys are doing live reporting. You're on the scene. It's a tense situation and mistakes are going to be made. Unfortunately, the consequences of those mistakes can be pretty big. And thankfully, in this case, I didn't hear about any, you know, another round of rioting or something like that. But you have to figure the rumor mill is going to be in full swing in Baltimore for the next week, 2 weeks, God knows how long. And before you put something out there that's going to be considered shocking news and probably in a lot of minds, I'm going to say both emotionally and perhaps even physically incendiary news, you got to check that out. And you know, you look pretty bad if you get it wrong like that. You'd hate to think that someday there'd be a round of violence or an angry response to something that didn't actually happen. So, you know, I guess, you know, again, credit to them for admitting they got it wrong. But, you know, the job is to try to tell us what actually did go on, not what you're hearing may or may not have gone on.
Exactly. And you think about what a tough job the police have. The officer that was speaking there says, we don't have a shooting victim right now.
I guess that's, you know, that's being accurate.
Talk about the expectations for your day. That is not easy.
Jim, check back with me later.
Exactly. Jim, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.